The Oklahoma City Thunder play a interesting game tonight. Maybe the biggest game of the season so far at the Sacramento Kings. Plus, we're going to answer your mailbag questions about the draft, about the upcoming offseason, and what moves this roster needs to complete itself and this rebuild. Plus, where are the Thunder heading this season as we continue to inch closer and closer to the All-Star break and the second half of this season? We'll talk all about that coming up on today's Locked On Thunder podcast.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, media member, and editor-in-chief over at thunderousintentions.com, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LO Thunderpod. Email the show, lothunderpod@gmail.com. On today's show, brought to you by LinkedIn, we're going to answer your mailbag questions and preview tonight's game against the Sacramento Kings. Going to be a lot of fun to watch that game. It's going to be a very important one. Today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. So on today's show, we're just going to rifle through your Twitter questions and start with at MK325491. How many wins would the Thunder end the year with from being at 22 wins right now? How many more will they get? I can understand that some fans, and I got questions on this about on YouTube as well, about, you know, can they win 40 games? I understand that, you know, the 40-win mark out there. And to me, I would still just play it a little bit more conservative because we've seen this team be streaky, and there could easily be another down streak as well as these up streaks that we're in right now for OKC. I would say like 35 wins, you know, 36 wins would be kind of where I'd be at. I think that 40 could happen. Like they're a team that could catch fire, and they're a team that plays so well, especially since the turn of the calendar year. Like the way that they're playing in 2023, they could get the 40 wins. But just kind of leaving a little bit of room for them to come a little bit back down, like back down to where they had been at before 2023 started, and then still staying at this pace of 2023. I think that they'd kind of settle in probably around 35, 36 wins, but they could get the 40 at two pointers. If the Thunder are in the 6-8 range, do they bring Chet back if he's fully healthy? So with the Chet Holmgren thing, obviously, to recap it, he hurt himself in the game in August in a pro-am game in Seattle, out for the season with a Lisfranc fracture in his foot, and the Thunder announced he'd be out for the season. Since then, we've seen, you know, him get his boot off. We've seen him do, you know, shooting, you know, some shooting drills. He was shooting whenever he had a scooter. You know, he was still shooting baskets whenever he had a scooter on. Now he's taking his boot off. Now he's doing some more, you know, kind of one-on-zero stuff that he's putting on TikTok and Instagram, and it's looking really cool and getting people really excited. And the other day at practice, he participated in a shooting competition with the rest of the team. But to me, this is going to be like the Zion thing last year, where, like, if you remember last year, if you were paying attention to, you know, the other teams in basketball, so the Pelicans make the playoffs, and they're the 8th seed, and Zion posts on Instagram this incredible dunk where it looks like he's, like, denting the floor with how much force he's jumping off the floor with. Like, it was an awesome dunk. And people were saying, oh gosh, they got to let him play. They got to let him play. And he wanted to play in the playoffs. He's a competitor. He's a guy that wants to win. He's a guy that wants to help his team. He wanted to play. And the Pelicans just did not have him play in the playoffs. I think that it'll be like that. So in the sense of, we're getting excited about these Instagram videos and TikToks that he's posting, and that's all fine and well. But from the Thunder standpoint, they've always said he's on track. And on track just means he'll be back next year. Doesn't mean like he's accelerated. Doesn't mean that he's behind. Doesn't mean anything but on track for next season. And it's going really well. The rehab is going awesome, and it's better than the alternative. But I think that it's still going to be next season for him. So I think that no matter where the seeding is at for OKC, Chet Holmgren will not play until next season, and that's kind of all the information that we have at this point, so there's no reason to kind of go against that line of thinking. But I think that'll be a lot like the Zion thing, where Pelicans fans were excited about the videos and were banging the drum for him to play. The Pelicans protected their star, their investment, their big asset, and then he comes into this season ready to go, you know, for Zion, and then for Chet it'll be next season. At time for us, Figs, how long will Usman Jang spend in the Blue League, spend in the G League with the Blue? So for Usman Jang, he got sent down to the Blue yesterday. This is part of his rehab process. He was doing more on-court work with the Thunder over the last couple of games, getting more range of motion back and trying to work back into the whole game shape of the NBA. I think that he'll be with the Blue probably, I mean, again, this is me guessing, I don't know, but probably at least a week or two, like to play and get himself kind of his sea legs back under him, get himself accustomed to the basketball game speed again. And then you just kind of have to look at the Blue schedule and see how often that they play in the next couple of weeks. But I hope he can play Wednesday whenever the Blue are back in town against the Gold on Wednesday morning before the Thunder and Hawks play. That'd be awesome just for me personally to go get to watch him play, but hopefully he can play then. But I think that the G League stuff, I think this time it's more about just him getting healthy than like sending him down to get better in the Blue. This is a more get better in terms of health than skill level. I think that they do want to see him in the NBA, and Marcus talked about wanting to get some miles on the car in the NBA, and so we'll see that after he heals from this injury. At Jason Mitchell, I'm sure most of us are just along for the ride and don't really care about matchups in the playoffs, but what teams do you think we'd stand a chance against in a 7-game series this season? That's a good question, and you're right. I want to be very transparent, very clear. I'm just answering this question. I'm not like, I don't really care about who they match up with, and I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself about making the playoffs or anything of that nature. I think that there's still a long way to go, and as you mentioned, just along for the ride. Like, whatever happens, happens, and it's very, very cool to just be in this position at all for Oklahoma City. But in terms of where I think that the Thunder can surprise some people, Dallas, they've played really well against Dallas this season. Now here's the thing. Luka can just win a series by himself. But Dallas has been hit with the injury bug very, very, very hard. And they've got a lot of guys now who I would consider injury prone. And that's just calling it like it is with Maxi Kleber, with Tim Hardaway Jr. They've missed Josh Green for 20 games, and he's coming back now, luckily. Dorian Finney-Smith coming back now, luckily for them. If Dallas is fully healthy, that changes my mind. But this season, they've been so injury prone, and now Christian Wood has fractured his thumb, like that I don't see how they're going to be health-wise when they enter the playoffs. And when they haven't been healthy, it's been either Luka or bust, and the Thunder have beat the Mavs with and without Luka Doncic on the floor. And so I just think that that would be a competitive series. I think that playing the Kings would be the most fun series, because I think that the Kings, they have Sabonis, they have Fox, you have Shea, and the matchups kind of lean toward OKC and the Kings both being able to play with pace and play their style of basketball and just play at a high level, to where that'll be like a 7-game series, I would imagine. Like, the travel involved will be interesting too, because you both teams are going to have to adjust to going to the West Coast and Central Time multiple times in the series. I think that the only teams that really you'd want to stay away from in the West, I definitely would not want the Thunder to play Memphis. I think that Memphis is the one team that's pretty well designed to play Shea very well, especially as the game slows down. Memphis has given Shea fits a bit because they have so many bodies that can be thrown in the paint with so much length, and the Thunder just do not have enough floor spacers quite yet. That'll change as the roster gets flushed out, but as of this current moment, Memphis has the answers right now to Shea, so I would not want to play Memphis. Denver is an incredible team. Like, they're 32-13, and they have depth as well. I think that Denver's going to be really, really good in the postseason this year. But other than that, I wouldn't want to play New Orleans if they're fully healthy, because then you've got just too many guys to try to stop. You know, Zion, Brandon Ingram. Like, you have so many guys that you're going to try to get out there on CJ McCollum. So I with me, I would love to see the Thunder play the Kings or the Mavericks. And then past that, if the Jazz make it in there, that'd be funny to play the Jazz. Clippers, Timberwolves, you know, don't want to play the Warriors at all. The Warriors, you know, are, of course, are struggling right now, but healthy in the postseason, no one wants to play the Warriors. So I would really hope that the Thunder can play the Kings or the Mavericks, or if, of course, depending on how the Jazz fare, and if that's even going to be possible, we'll see how they slip and slide. But yeah, the Mavericks and the Kings would kind of be two that I circle on the calendar for. That'd be the most fun matchup in terms of the Thunder. I don't think would get blown out in that matchup. Like, there's a chance that the Thunder go against Denver and look like that Memphis team did against the Jazz, right? Remember whenever Memphis won the play-in, and then they went to play the Jazz in the first round, and they played some quality basketball, but they lost in five. Like, I think that that's what happens if you play Denver. I think that that's what happens if you play Memphis. But if you play Sacramento, if you play Dallas, like, you can take them to six, seven, and then once you get a series to six or seven games, it's a coin flip at that point, and you can actually win it, and you can actually have a ton of success. So that's who I would be looking at. But yes, you're correct. Just along for the ride and not really watching the standings in terms of matchups yet. But we mentioned today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs is incredible. I want to tell you all about them right now. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates with more efficiency by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insight from your job post, your company, and matching them with their over 875 million member profiles out there. So put your post in front of the most qualified candidates, identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs, and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based upon your job qualifications all on one platform. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering qualified hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedinjobs.com/LockedInMBA. That's linkedinjobs.com/LockedInMBA. Terms and conditions do apply. We're back on the Lockdown Thunder Podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your teams every day. Thank you so much for making us your first listen. Subscribe on all podcasting platforms. At King Funi 8, what needs do the Thunder have going into the draft or free agency? My big thing is going to be shooting. Like we see the value that the Thunder add whenever they have a guy like Isaiah Joe on the floor, and you're not just going to stumble into a 44% 3-point shooter or an electric 3-point shooter like Isaiah Joe. Like, you're not just going to go find Isaiah Joe's. That's an elite trait that is going to be hard to duplicate, obviously. But like, just getting improved shooting on this roster helps everyone, but specifically Shea. Like, if you are now spacing the floor for Shea, and you have shooters that you have to go respect and you have to go defend, and you can't sag off of or creep down on Shea while he's driving, then I'm not sure how you defend Shea. And it's already incredibly hard to defend him now. Like, he's already a 30-point per game scorer right now. But if you then cannot clog the paint and you have to actually respect the 3-point prowess of this team, especially whenever Shea is so elite at the drive and kick and playmaking out of the drive, you just throw your hands up and he's going to average 31, 32, 33, 34 points per game. Like, he's just going to torch you. Or his assists are going to go from 5 to 6, 7, 8. And so, like, it's just going to help Shea so much. And by helping Shea, you help the team win. So shooting, shooting, shooting is what I'm looking for in the draft and in this offseason. At Jimmy Mintz, how would you rank Dort defensively compared to peak Andre and peak Thabocephalosha? Behind Andre, ahead of Thabo. That's where I put Dort. I think that Andre gets the edge in terms of just looking at their defensive prowess, is because Andre, while Dort does switch, Andre has the ability to truly switch 1 through 5 at his peak, and you could survive that possession and really thrive in that possession. He was just lengthier. He was just kind of able to use that to his advantage more. Dort will still switch 1 through 5, will still get the job done. I mean, he was guarding Miles Turner for a little bit in the game on Wednesday. But Andre was just better at it because of his length, because of his natural build. But Lu Dort is still really, really good at defense, obviously. And to be behind Andre is no slouch. at No Limit Brando. I'm worried about Trey Mann. Is his play style suitable for OKC? Drafting multiple positions that can play multiple positions, drafting ball handlers, etc. He isn't shooting the ball well. And what's his role with this team? I just feel like he doesn't fit. With Trey Mann, look, not all these guys are going to pan out. Like, not all these guys are going to end up being a part of the future of this team. I will say, you know, if you put yourself back in where this team, you know, where you were as a fan last year to end the season, it was very exciting. Like he had many exciting games last year where he went for 35 points against Boston at home. He went for 30 points in the Garden. He went for 29 against Dallas, you know, 25 against Miami. Like, he had many a good games last year and many an exciting moment. If you put yourself back in the preseason, like, folks, go look at the preseason numbers for Trey Mann. He was lighting it up. He was dominating, and people were saying he was going to win most improved player. People were all over Trey Mann. And then he's had a bit of a sophomore slump. And so, yes, not everyone's going to work. Like, not everyone's going to work on this roster. You're taking a lot of swings on a lot of young guys. Some of them are going to hit big, like Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara, and like Josh Giddey. Some of them are not going to hit as well. With Trey Mann, I think that you give him next season to figure out what he is, because he's shown you an ability to buy in defensively and give you a lot of effort on that end of the floor. He's shown you an ability that he can heat up at a moment's notice. And we all believe he can shoot. He's just got to actually shoot the ball well. And so, yes, this season has not gone off the way that Thunder fans would have liked, that he would have liked, but you kind of take it into year three and see what adjustments that he can make. But long-term, again, you're right. I mean, does he fit? We'll have to just find out, because not everyone's going to fit. But I'm not ready quite yet to be concerned about it. I think if it looks the same next year, then you start to go, okay, with this roster crunch, with the amount of picks we need to bring in / trades we need to make, it might be his time. So, like, it's going to be a very pivotal season from next year, just as it was a pivotal season for Pokuševski this year. But let's see what Trey Mann can do. I mean, let's see what he can do with another offseason of development, another training camp, and another season. At Brother Reed 11, realistically, who are the five players you feel the Thunder would be willing to part with whenever they trade for the final piece down the line? So, again, this goes back to, like, when you're trading, you can't just say, like, oh, well, Bazley's not playing well, so part with him. Well, then if you don't think he's playing well, then odds are other teams don't either, so you're not gonna get much value. So you've got to balance out, like, who's playing well, but not so well that you couldn't move off of him, you know, move off of them. I think that the only true untouchables would be Shea, Chet, Giddey, J-Dub, and then Usman Jang can see himself sliding that in that realm because he kind of fits the exact mold if he pans out. Those are, like, the untouchables as of right now. And then the rest, you could talk yourself into being sweeteners along with those multiple draft picks to make a trade. But I'm not so sure that the Thunder are going to make an all-in trade in the sense of, like, a Donovan Mitchell type of trade. I think that they might make a trade like a Steven Adams type of trade. Like look at the way that Steven Adams tied together that Memphis roster and allowed them to have a ton of success last year and continues to do that this year. But, I mean, they made that Adams trade. It was kind of like, huh, that's the guy you're going to go for. Then he works so well with Ja, you get you to the second round of the playoffs, you ran into a bus on the Warriors, it's just going to happen sometimes. And then this year, the Grizzlies are right back as a top two seed in the West. And so, like, that wasn't a high-dollar superstar move, but it was the correct move for your roster and for your team. And so I think that's more so what you're going to look for. Not a center, not a Steven Adams, not like that, but, like, Steven Adams is not a superstar, but he's what the doctor ordered for that team. I could see the Thunder doing that instead of, like, a all-in, like, go get a super, super, superstar. We'll just have to wait and see if what they need. We don't even know what the team needs yet. Like, it feels so accelerated. It feels so so kind of quick. But we have not seen Chet play with these guys yet, and we don't know what Chet Holmgren will need next to him. We don't know how this team will flow with Chet Holmgren. We don't know how these players will develop. I mean, Jalen Williams, if he continues to play at this pace, will be in Oklahoma City for 9 years. Josh Giddey will be in Oklahoma City for seven more years after this season. You know, SGA has 4 more years after this one on this deal, and you hope to re-sign him. Like, this is going to be a long process that you're going to have to figure out. You know, Chet Holmgren has 8 more years after this year in OKC. So, like, they're not going to make an all-in move, you know, realistically right now. and they might not ever make it, because what if all these guys just pan out? And like your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is just SGA, Chet, Giddey, J-Dub, and like it's all on your team and you just need to find those complimentary pieces. Now, you have the assets to go get the best of the best complimentary pieces out there. So that's awesome as well. At Draft Fanatics, how about Jang's development? He's looked a lot better over the course of his last few G League games, and that he had his best NBA game, his last NBA game that he played in Atlanta before he got hurt with the wrist injury. So I think that Usman Jang is really coming into his own, but then he had the wrist injury. It's his second wrist injury, but they're not related together from the one that he had in Summer League. So we'll see what he does whenever he comes back from that wrist injury. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Thunder and how it looks moving forward for the postseason push and this game against the Kings. But first, I want to say right now, better good friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is a fantastic protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off of your next order. Folks, it's incredible. You want to try them out. They're a protein bar, but they're covered in 100% real chocolate on the outside, and they are great for you pre-workout, post-workout, as a meal replacement, as a snack. Make sure you check them out today. You can even find them at your Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy section. So it's awesome. They're 130 calories, but there's so many delicious flavors like cherry barcia, like brownie batter puff, like coconut marshmallow, churro, cookies and cream. You can do double chocolate. You can do mint brownie. You can do raspberry, coconut, salted caramel, cookie dough. They have everything that you want over there at Built Bar. Go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off of your next order. We're back on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. Getting into your mailbag questions at Jose Edward CNB. What are the odds that Sam Presti packages assets to get his guy in the draft despite the team having more success than expected? Pretty high, because the Thunder just, they can't select all four first-round picks next season. Like, they have four first-round picks in 2024. They can't bring in four first-round picks. So you package some of those and maybe move up from 12 to 6 or 12 to 7 and go get someone that you really, really are circling and making sure that you can, you know, ensure that you get your guy if you're Sam Presti. I think that that's pretty realistic considering just the pure roster crunch that's upcoming and the asset overload that you have. So hopefully that's what happens. At Fabio Alves, are the Thunder going to shut some players down in the second half of the season? No, I don't think that the Thunder have ever shut players down in the sense of like, you know, I don't believe that the Thunder have made up these injuries or anything. I can't promise you that nobody's going to get hurt, but it's not going to be that some nefarious tanking thing. Like, they want to be in the play and they want to make the playoffs, so they're going to try, and hopefully they do. And if they don't, well, it's still house money. At Nugs Hot Sauce, that's a funny at. If OKC reaches a high seed in the 2024 playoffs, how does Presti? What does Presti do with four first round picks? Again, you might offload some of those right now just to move up in this current draft. But yeah, that'll be interesting because at that point, you still have some leverage because you own four first-round picks. But also, it's kind of writing on the wall that you can't possibly use all four of those first-round picks. So teams can then kind of play the waiting game and kind of wait you out and kind of use that leverage against you in the 2024 draft, which is whenever it'd be the next time that you have the ability to trade it after the 2024 playoffs would be draft night. I don't know. I think that the all-in move could just be for quality rotational pieces more so than like a superstar. And it also could be for a superstar, and we're very, very excited. Like, it could be either way, but I would lean right now toward the latter. At Chris Tenick, chances of Holmgren coming back for the last 30 games? I addressed it. I don't think it's going to happen. At Bull Walton, do you think Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara should get the second most votes for Rookie of the Year? Mathurin started out so hot, but I think Williams has grown over the course of the season and is a bigger contributor to wins. Yeah, I would vote for him second, me personally. I also could see very valid reasons to vote for Mathurin, but me personally, I would go Paolo and then J-Dub on my ballot. At Ryan Wu, so with Shea and Josh making the Thunder too good to tank, do the Thunder stand pat? Do you believe Sam Presti will make some moves? And who do you think would fit? I think that the Thunder still are going to stand pat and just let it ride out this season at the trade deadline. Swapping Bazley for some expiring contract could happen. If you wanted to go take a flyer on Mo Bamba, whatever, I think that fit. I think that that'd work for this season specifically. You know, maybe not long term, but for this season specifically, could go work for Mo Bamba. But I don't think that that will happen, and I don't think that they're going to get Mo Bamba. I don't think that they're going to make any trades besides maybe swapping Bazley for an expiring contract. But even then, you might just let Bazley's contract ride out and just not re-sign him in the offseason, but keep him around because he's still bought into the team. He's still a good locker room guy. He's still a good vibes guy. He's still a good bench mob guy, you know, cheering on his teammates. And you saw he can just randomly have great games like he did over the weekend, last weekend. So who knows what's going to happen. I don't think that you should expect anything important, though, at the deadline necessarily for OKC. Sam Presti has surprised me before. He could surprise me again. But I think that they're just going to stand pat and truly just let this season ride out and see how it goes for the last half of the season. Hopefully, it goes in their favor. And tonight is one of the more exciting nights of Thunder basketball in a long time. And obviously, would love it to be in the Paycom Center and getting to go down there to it. But it's in the, gosh, what's it called? The Golden One Center? Is that what it's called in Sacramento? It's in Sacramento. And this is going to be fun basketball. I mean, it's going to be really fun basketball. It's going to be at 9 o'clock, so get some coffee ready and make sure that you're ready to go at 9 o'clock. But the Kings are a fun basketball team. If you've not gotten to watch them this year, they play a fun style of basketball. It's going to be a track meet, I think, for both squads. I mean, the Kings average 120 points per game. The Thunder average 117 points per game. And if the Thunder can win, then for the time being, they will likely push themselves into the sixth seed, or at least, you know, seventh or eighth seed of the play-in and of the playoffs. So if they continue this hot streak and they continue to get impressive wins on the road, that'll be awesome. I think it's going to be fun just to watch it pure matchup-wise, win or lose. I think that the talent of Keegan Murray, Jalen Williams, De'Aaron Fox, SGA, Sabonis in this game, like all these different matchups and Josh Giddey playing so well, like all these different talents sharing the floor together that are so young and so energetic and so playing with pace and everything will be so awesome to watch. I cannot wait for it. We're going to have the recap podcast for you after the game is over right here on Locked On Thunder. So until then, make sure that you subscribe on every podcasting platform and on YouTube. And until then, be good and be good to one another.